This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. And I think, I mean, I don't know about all of you, but this time of the year, I don't know if we're done with parenting. We want to have a little bit of a break. I think maybe that's not it. I think we're all a little bit overworked and overtired. And I think you get really sick of the grind, you know, having to take kids to school, having to pick them up, having to take them to activities. So for me personally, I like the little bit out of routine. I'm very sure in 3 weeks' time, I'm going to have the opposite where I'm going to like, I can't wait to get back into routine, but I'm not there yet. I'm still enjoying the not being in routine, not having too much structure. And I think lots of things, you become a little bit more lenient with stuff. And I even see it. And I'm, as you know, like a stickler for rules and routine and all those type of things. And but even I, with my children, that being said, my kids are 11 and 13 already. I do find I'm a little bit more lax with routine and schedule, and I allow later bedtimes. But I mean, remarkably, my children, I mean, they're both, I think, slept until 8:30. I think I don't know what all I did this morning before they woke up. So it's really, I mean, a 13-year-old, I think a teenager, it's funny. They really sleep so much. It's really very, very interesting for me as well. But it's really, it's nice to see that even if we then go to bed, and I mean, last night they didn't go to bed that late. They went to bed kind of normal time because we had two very late nights the night before. And they went to bed and then they still slept quite late this morning, which is very interesting. But when you have smaller children, I feel it becomes a little trickier to be out of routine. But also as a sleep expert, I think that was one of my biggest learnings, to be honest. I was always, again, I think it was such a long time I wasn't sleeping with my children when they were small that I was so afraid that if I was out of routine or something was wrong, that they were going to go back to not sleeping. So I think I had this petrified feeling. And I'm sorry for every single client that I assisted during that time, because I feel like I became this person that was like, you need to be in a routine and you have to stick to it or else. I can assure you that is one thing that has very much changed over the last, I mean, it's now a while already, but routines and schedules are important for children. But I feel that the most important key to parenting is flexibility. Being able to be flexible in lots of different ways, but also when it comes to routine. But again, it is a little trickier with smaller children, just in the way of like, yes, you could get away. If your child sleeps really well normally, you are going to be able to get away with a night, maybe two, of going to bed later. But I'm telling you, by the third night, if not already by the second night, they're going to be so cranky at 7 o'clock or something that you're going to want to put them to bed, to be honest. So it's a little bit trickier to get away with those things when they are smaller because they need so much more sleep. So it's not actually about, you know, and if your child's not sleeping and they normally sleep worse, then skipping a nap or having a later bedtime is going to be even trickier. But to help me talk about this wonderful sleep topic today is Megan Hoyer. She's a mom of three and also a good night sleep consultant. Hello, Megan. Thanks for joining me again.
Thanks for having me, Yolandi.
I've been having like a monologue basically for a good couple of minutes about sleep. But I mean, you've also been a consultant for quite some time. Do you feel that you're a little bit more lax or a little bit more relaxed when it comes to being strict with a routine and schedule?
Definitely. I think my mindset has changed. However, I do think there are realities to having small kids. Mm. Like as you were saying, like they get to a point where they don't cope anymore. My eldest is 8 and my youngest is almost 4. And I do find that I'm a lot more relaxed. But I do find they do start to self-regulate. So like my almost four-year-old will fall asleep in the middle of the day, and she doesn't really nap anymore. But in the holidays, she seems to nap quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I think it is because of that later bedtime. The only problem compared to what you are saying with having preteen / teenagers is I do find the younger children don't regulate as well. So if my kids go to bed late, they still wake up anything between 5:30 and 6:30.
That is really true. I mean, and my children, like I said, now sleep really late in the morning, which was not the case. I mean, in the previous times, Oscar would have, like, if you went to bed later, you would actually wake up earlier.
Yeah. Mm. No, it's quite tricky. So I find that I pay for it myself in terms of my kids wake up grumpy, or they don't wake up grumpy, but as the day progresses, they get tired and more grumpy, and they're more irritable, and they're more whiny, and they fight a little bit with their siblings. And I can always put it down to because we just had a bad or a late night, you know. Going to look at Christmas lights or just something that's out of routine. So I'm a lot more relaxed about a fixed bedtime per se. We'll talk a little bit also about some of the tips that can help, but for now, definitely I'm a lot more relaxed. However, like I say, with younger kids, there's no regulation that they sort of go to bed later, they'll wake up later. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I mean, also obviously with if you've now got a baby or a toddler, then also again, then if they're cranky or you know, then they become clingy, become whiny, they become cryy, you're not always understanding what's happening.
Yes.
And then also sometimes they get the second wind.
Yes.
They struggle even more to fall asleep. So you go even to bed even later.
Yes.
And again, like, I mean, for me now with an 11 or 13 year old, if they are annoying me, I'm like, well, then you can just go to bed now. You know, that's not the case necessarily with a baby and a toddler. If they're going to be, because then sometimes you have that point of no return.
Yeah.
Where it's really where you're then struggling to get them to sleep. And as soon as they fall asleep, they wake up almost immediately again.
Yeah.
Because they're overtired, overstimulated, and then they don't go into that nice, like, sleep, actually. And then, and as we know as well, with regards to sleep, that's also that beginning part of the evening is a very good restorative, necessary sleep. It's a lot, it's an, like a great kind of deeper sleep that happens in the beginning of the evening. So if you're missing that, you can still get it, obviously, because it's the onset of sleep, but it's a lot less that is happening. And then your child is also, and then the next day they're going to be a little bit craggy. But again, a very different story if you're talking here about a child that is sleeping very well normally. And that's what I always tell my parents is that I assist. It's like, in the future, you're going to have. Because life is also about more than just sleep.
100%.
So sometimes it is absolutely great to go watch Christmas lights with your toddler. And you should do that.
Yeah.
Now my kids are 11, 13. They're less keen. They've watched the Lawley Christmas lights too many times, apparently. Even though I'm still quite keen. But, you know, there's certain things that that is really nice, and you are allowed to go do those things. And also, you're with family, and there's lots going on.
Mm-hmm.
You should do those things. But if your child normally sleeps really well at home, that one, maybe two days that they're a little bit out of schedule, they are going to be able to cope a lot better.
Mm.
I mean, you just have to think of yourself. I mean, for me, if I've had a good night's sleep for a week or whatever, I'm a lot more ready to do things than when I missed a night of sleep. If I went to bed and then I also can't do it, and I'm a little bit more crabby the next day.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, I think that's also something to just touch on just now is also the fact that, you know, if your child goes to bed later, that probably means you're also going to bed later. So we have a multitude of family members that are going to be less functional the next day because of overtiredness.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. And today I'm talking with Megan Hoyer, who's a sleep consultant and mom of three, about sleep during the holiday daytime and kind of preparing. And we're going to talk about a bit about tips where the gray zones are when it comes to sleeping during the holiday, because in the end of the day, there's so much happening this time of the year. And you should enjoy certain things and you should indulge a little bit in certain things and allow, a little bit of bending of the rules. But again, as we mentioned before the break, is that you also need to keep in mind that especially the smaller your child is, in some ways they can be more flexible because they can pretty much sleep, or some children, or that's also not all children, can sleep better on the go type of thing. And just some toddlers just don't. So it's, there's a combination of things. But as always, I do want you to be part of the discussion. So if you have questions or shares, what do you love about the holiday time? Do you sleep more? Do you try to sleep in? Do you like holiday cuddles early morning? Is there something specific that you really love about this time of the year? With being out of routine a little bit, share with us. You can send a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019 and share with us questions that you have, maybe concerns, or just like some insights on what you're doing during this wonderful holiday time. So Megan, let's get into the whole, like, maybe how do you, like, do you have any kind of top, I mean, you have three children as well. Oh, did you just never? You just never go on holiday, or
no? We do. I think my biggest personal learning curve was my family. Some of them are German, so with my family, we always celebrate Christmas Eve. And obviously, you can't celebrate Christmas Eve at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, you know. Well, you can, but we choose not to because, you know, there's something about the evening, and especially, you know, in South Africa being so hot, it's just nicer when the sun is sort of starting to set. And then obviously, when I had smaller kids, it was quite tricky because you do want them to sort of be a part of it, without being a stickler on, like, sorry, 6 p.m. bedtime or 6:30, you know. And there's all this excitement and everything going on. And so I think that was my biggest learning curve, is how did I prepare to incorporate Christmas Eve as a celebration where my children could be a part of it? So, and as they got older, it's gotten easier and easier. I think when they were little, you know, we did definitely make things, we moved sort of like opening presents a little bit earlier and things like that.
What did you say? Like, I mean, I could still even buy, again, my kids, and then last year they were 10. And we have like Christmas Eve lunch. And we've got our little traditions because it's a combination of German and South African, I guess. But my kids can never wait until the evening. They can't wait to get, they want to open it already on the 24th in the morning. So I'm very impressed just by the fact that you could do that.
I have to wait for Santa to bring the presents, remember, the reindeers.
So that's also true. So Santa was first by us.
Oh, okay. He comes early to you.
I messaged him. I've got a direct line to him, so it's fine.
So I think with that, like with my children, what I would do is I would try and force them for an afternoon lie down. Not necessarily, I don't want to say nap, because my older kids wouldn't do that. But like, we would lie on the bed for 20 minutes and read and just rest and sort of recharge for the evening.
Yeah.
Or late afternoon. So that was one of the things. And then I always made sure, because then on Christmas Day, we would often do it with my husband's family that celebrates Christmas Day. And then I would try and make sure that we would host it so that they would actually be able to have a nap when they were younger in their own environment if we were home. If not, again, we would try and make sure that around about lunchtime-ish, again, we would do a little bit of a lie down or something like that just to recover. And then without a doubt, whether we were at the beach or wherever we were on the 26th of December, we would make sure that was a no-plan day. That was lounge around, wake up in your pajamas, stay in your pajamas all day, or, you know, do a quick trip to the beach, but it was like a no-plan day. So I always made sure that after two very busy days and late nights, we would have a day that was sort of a recharge and rest day that the kids could just sort of recover a little bit. And I think that was one of the biggest things that I found that really worked. But I often say to parents, I get a couple of clients, especially in the last 2 weeks, that have gone overseas and their children have regressed quite badly, waking up and they're sort of like, what do we do? And I just keep saying to them, like, one of the biggest things is consistency. But now consistency isn't 6 p.m. every night we're in bed or we bath and then consistency is making sure that it looks familiar to your children. So we are consistent in the way we go to bed. So even on Christmas Day, maybe not Christmas Eve, but Christmas Day, I would still bath my kids. They would still get in their pajamas. We would still read a story and they would go to bed, even if it was an hour later.
Because they don't know what time it is.
Exactly. So consistency, and that's something. And I get so many clients that are like, yo, but you know, we're sitting in the UK and my child's waking up now screaming, or I have to pat them to sleep. And I'm like, but because you're not being consistent. And it really is such an important thing, even on holiday in a strange environment. Your consistency shows your children, gives them safety and security that I find they settle into change of environment. They settle into change of routine because it's the consistency that gives them that security. It's what you were saying earlier on, Yolandi, like, you know, you're grateful that there's no schedule on routine for now. But give it 2 or 3 weeks and everyone starts to get a little bit unsettled because, you know, the routine is what makes us feel safe. It's what helps us sleep. It what helps us even as adults. It helps us just to not have thoughts all over the place and we can sort of focus and function. And, you know, they always say, like, no one knows the day of the week between the 25th of December and the 1st of January because it's just whatever day in between Christmas and New Year, you know. But come the beginning of the year, we start to grasp onto, okay, it's Monday again, it's Tuesday again, you know. And routine is good for us. It's also good to have a break. And that's why I always feel with my parents, when you are on holiday, to relax. You have the small children have some form of structure, like still making sure that they get their naps in, but it doesn't always have to be at home or in their cots, you know, but we still make sure that we try and get that nap in. And we still try and make sure that we offer them breakfast, lunch and supper and not just nothing because they will then be hungry, you know.
And I mean, even my children, again, already 11 and 13, and even if they go to bed later, we still have our, like, nighttime rituals that, I mean, obviously I don't bath my kids anymore and those, they do that on their own. Yes, that's appropriate now. but that's just what I'm saying. So they go brush their teeth and their bedtime routine still happens, but they are obviously doing it on their own. They also now, it's like often also then shower at different times. But again, that's as they get older, the routines. But we still like say goodnight to them. We still have our kind of little rituals that we do as part of our bedtime. And that's also something to remember to have. And I think sometimes parents forget that, to have a little nap time routine as well. Because again, that creates that consistency to help signal your child that sleep is coming. You can't expect them to go from a busy out and about on the beach. And I mean, beaches are very soothing for us as adults, the sound and whatever, but it is overstimulation for children in so many, because it's loud. There's lots of new sounds and feelings and smells and all sorts of things that's happening from the beach. So, and sights, and it's like really like sensory overload being on the beach, especially for babies that's never experienced it before. So you want to have those like little signals and things like that. And again, you can be super social on holiday. Even you, remember, that's what you also have to take the time to switch off. So please use your children as a freaking excuse as well. Come on, just say, no, I can't go, because you also need to rest. Don't overload yourself with thousands of things that need to be done or need to happen. I mean, now is the time when you have children to be like, no, I can't do that because my child has, be that person a little bit. I'm saying no, and also giving yourself the opportunity to rest and recuperate, and because that's also what this time is for. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond. With me, your host, Yolandi Becker, and we're talking parenting and specific sleep and routines and schedules during the holiday. Now I do want to, because again, Megan, you were not talking about creating consistency and things like that. But also, I mean, that's a question that I get a lot from parents as well, as like the environment. Where should my, because now sometimes if you go on holiday, it's a little bit difficult. You know, I sometimes did it where as far as possible, I tried to get my kids to have their own room when they were sleeping.
Yes.
But if you're like renting a place, oh, you're in a hotel, you're not going to get a separate room. It's going to cost you a small fortune, especially if you have three kids. That's hence why Megan has reverted to camping. Because it's the only way you're going on holiday. I'm kidding. Not kidding. I hate camping. I'm not going to go into that discussion. Please do send me a WhatsApp if you want to have this discussion. but it is... how do you create a familiar, what's some tips with regards to the environment when it comes to sleeping?
I think, again, to be honest, consistency. I'm going to sound like a stuck record because we've done it all. Even last year, all five of us had to stay in a relatively small room. My kids had, two of them shared one mattress and another child had, like, we put pillows together and then my husband and I had the bed. And the room was small and we just had to do it for two nights because the place we were staying at, there wasn't enough rooms for the first few nights. And I feel even when my kids were little, it's really about the consistency, how I put them down, how they are told to go to sleep. Those things bring familiarity as well as, you know, I think it's something we forget about. We're bringing clothes from home, pajamas, your kids wear every single night at home. If you take that on holiday, that is enough comfort and security and familiarity to know, oh, okay, it's bedtime. This is my pajamas. My kids have always been children to have like a sleep aid, like a lovey teddy thing.
Yeah.
So we took this massive elephant that my son, who's five, always sleeps with, and he still takes it. If he goes to his granny and grandpa for a night, he still takes it with him. So we found space in the car for that. And my girls have each got like a bunny that they sort of, and something as small as that, as well as I'm a big person on pillows, but I think as an adult, I love my own pillows.
Yeah.
So I made sure my kids took their own pillows. And that's actually it, I must be honest. The room... I didn't have anything fancy to make the room darker. I make a plan if I find it is a problem. But I initially, you know, like I said, bare minimum. I find parents are literally packing the kitchen sink to create this great sleep environment. And it's unnecessary. It's like, right, guys, it's bedtime. Okay, we're going to go to the toilet. We're going to bath. We're going to brush our teeth. We get dressed. And off we go to bed.
And that, even more so with small children and toddlers. I think also that we overthink.
Yeah,
creating the same environment and small things. And again, the routine and the consistency of you as the parent, I feel, makes a huge difference as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a different environment. Mm-hmm. But even that, my mom has done the bedtime routine in a similar way in at home with the kids. And then they still slept when they were small. Mm.
So even on, we were on holiday with my parents and the one night, the mom was like, oh, she'll help. And she went and bathed the kids and it was the same thing. It was just when we put them down, we do the same thing. You know, like I don't at home, I give my kids a good night kiss and I'll sit with them for a couple of minutes and then I leave. When I'm on holiday, I do exactly the same thing. I don't all of a sudden go, oh, Sham, they're going to freak out. This is different. Okay, I'm going to sit with you guys until you fall asleep. Because that just creates insecurity. Mom, why are you sitting with us?
No, why now all of a sudden do you have to do this?
So it was a strange environment. So I think the first night, my youngest, who was two, almost three at the time, she came out the room and looked for us. And I walked her back to her room and I said, your brother and your sister are here. There's... close your eyes, go to sleep, tomorrow morning we're going to go to the beach, or, you know, and she settled. But it's when parents freak out, oh, you must be scared. And I think that's the other thing I do want to say to parents is watch what words you speak and what you say to your children. So if your kids say you're scared, you're like, oh, there's no monsters under your bed. By even saying that, you're telling your kids there are monsters, they're just not under your bed right now. And I say to parents, you have to be careful about that. If they say they're scared, like if there's lightning or thunder, it's okay. You don't have to worry. I'm here. As long as they know you are there. Don't discount their fears, but it's okay. I'm here. You know, I will protect you. Go back to bed. Don't even need to go, no, there are no monsters. There are no crocodiles. Or, oh, don't be silly now. That's unhelpful. Yeah. Like, their fears are real.
Acknowledge the feeling.
Yes. And sometimes it's irrational, but they are real to them. But I say to parents, how do you behave? And the parents go, okay, I'll come lie with you. No, you weren't lying with them beforehand. Well, I mean, it's fine to lie with them for a while, but now don't lie with them until they fall asleep, because guess what? They're going to wake up in the middle of the night and go, where's mommy? Why isn't she lying with me? So our consistency is really vital for a healthy, happy sleep environment.
Yeah.
I remember once, like I spoke about, we went on holiday and I didn't take anything to make the room dark. And there was one window that had this really pathetic blind. we were in Durban and the sun would come up at like 4:30 and the room would be like bright, 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 bright. And I just went and bought some black bags. And the next morning I put black bags in the window with some sellotape and we had a great holiday after that. So, and that was purely just for early wake-ups. It also helped with nap time. But, and I think my daughter was 16 months at that point. So she was quite little in a
I've also, I mean, I remember also my kids once when we, because here, like in Cape Town, the sun goes down relatively late.
Yes.
In summertime. And I mean, lots of parents, I do have to say that I've been coming to Cape Town for quite some time from when my kids were really small. And initially, I mean, I was very like specific about it. Then I would, I mean, I've put blankets over windows and stuff like that or put like a something against it. So there's lots. And I mean, these days you get actually quite a lot. And like I said, black bags or sellotape is a great, easy alternative to do it. Mm. Looks a little bit dodgy from the outside, but. No, you don't live there, so you don't really care.
He's worried.
but in the same breath, I do have to say that because then parents are like, oh, no, my toddler doesn't want to sleep or my two-year-old doesn't want to sleep because it's still light out. And I mean, yes. I just told my children often. It's like, yes, because we're in Cape Town. I mean, the sun goes down later, close your eyes and then it's dark. So even though it wasn't as dark as what they normally had it, and they could see that the sun was still shining, I verbalized to them what it was and they went to bed and we still did the bedtime routine. So I also sometimes, then again, I definitely know when I had an 18-month-old toddler, I didn't have the same kind of effect.
Yeah,
I do feel, but again, now looking back, I'm not 100% sure that I even gave it a go for a good enough time to really see if that was an issue. But more often than not, I feel parents are also very afraid of it being light. But again, your child does not know. And if that's your normal, they can also still go to bed. And again, it's a very relatively easy fix that could happen if you have like, you make it darker with either blockout sheets or like I said, black bags, a blanket. There's lots of ways that you can do it. I know because I've done it. And be careful also, just on that note also, but we can get into that a little bit more just now, is also the safety of those type of things, because sometimes people put things over cots and stuff. That's not safe, so don't do that. But we'll get into that a little bit more after this ad break.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, and just like that, it's like, really, I love talking about sleep because apparently it does not make me sleepy. if you've just joined me on 101.95 FM, and this is Bump and Beyond, it's been a really great chat. I've been speaking to Megan Warrior. She's a sleep consultant with Good Night, also mom of three. We've been talking about like preparing or, and you know, being a little bit out of schedule. And I think the general theme has been, don't overthink it too much, but create consistency with easy things. It's sometimes I think we overthink the whole trying to stay in routine. It's either the one extreme of being too much in routine and trying too much to stay in routine and then saying no to everything because you can't do anything type of thing. And then the other extreme of just letting go of everything. And it is some, it can be okay to let go, definitely. But with smaller children, it's unfortunate that they are going to be super cranky if you're out of routine the whole time and you're constantly missing naps, you're constantly going to bed later, they are going to get cranky. And it becomes this vicious cycle of where they're going to bed later every night and they're waking up even earlier every day, every day, every day. And that becomes tricky. and unnecessary in some ways. If you missed the show, don't worry. You can listen to our tricks and shares on the podcast afterwards that will be available on HiFM.com that you can go listen to. So all of the podcasts, not just this one. I also, a week ago, we spoke about the safety of travel, which you can go listen to as a podcast. That was really great. And the week before, we talked about snacks and eating and indulging and being a little bit healthier in some ways with in a sneaky way with your children. So please do go have a listen to HiFM or go have a look at HiFM.com and go listen to some of those podcasts as well to, you know, prepare yourself for 2025 then as well, because there's lots of different topics that we have spoken about. Of course, as always, if you are keen to share some insights and topics that you want me to cover in the new year, please also do that. I would love to know what you want me to chat about. Also, how we can spice things up. Maybe you're getting really bored of me and what I'm saying and who I'm talking to. I do feel I always have different people on. But then again, you are allowed to voice your opinion. Please do let us know. You can send an email to Kathy at HiFM.com. Yes, before you go, though, Megan, I was wondering because that now, like I said, we have spoken about the safety of travel. But, I mean, that's also, you know, if you're flying or if you're driving, I think there's different ways of doing it. But how worried should a person be about the actual transit part of traveling?
So again, I think I'll give some helpful tips. If your child is under one, again, do not negate nutrition. So if your child needs to drink a bottle or needs to breastfeed, stop. If you're driving along the path, stop and feed. Because often what parents will be like, oh, they're sleeping now for the next four, like for the last 4 hours, just keep pushing through until they wake up. And I get the understanding behind that, but for long term, it's not going to help you because that means your child's going to wake up that evening because they missed milk in the day.
Yeah.
So for me, like travel wise, driving a far trip, like stop and give your baby the milk when it needs it. Don't just keep going because they are sleeping. But I think again, trying to just relax and chill, and today is travel day and whatever happens, happens. Because often if you're flying, you have to be at the airport a couple of hours beforehand, then it's the flying, then it's the waiting to board, then it's the waiting to disembark, and then it's waiting either for a car or your lift. It's very, very hard to do it. I just said to parents, be well prepared. For me, snacks and entertainment are like the top two things. I don't care if I don't pack underwear, but I make sure I've packed snacks and entertainment for my kids, whether it's stickers that they can stick all over the airplane window or all sorts of things to color in or anything. But snacks for the older kids is vital to keep them entertained. But I often say to parents, just go with the flow. Again, realistically, make sure the day after arrival is a chill day. Settle into the environment. Take it slow. Don't have a jam-packed. We're arriving and then we're going to the aquarium. And then the next day we're going to the beach. And then we have to go to Water World. And then we have to go to the pier. And then we have to make sure that the next day is just settling in with short trips, like if you're wanting to go to the beach or something like that. But allowing enough space and capacity for your children to either fit in a good nap or to just not be as, you know, just to be able to settle into the new environment. So travel there, I often say to parents, I think there's so much anxiety around traveling. For moms of smaller babies, make sure you've got an outfit for yourself and your baby. We didn't do an excessive amount of traveling with our small kids, just the season of work my husband and I were in. But the one or two we did do, guaranteed blowout. It is black, blow your mind. You literally get onto the plane to board and your child has a blowout. And my kids never had blowout. So it was so unusual. But now you're sitting and 9 out of 10 times it ends up on your shirt because they were on your lap without you realizing it. So I often say to moms, if you're flying, pack an extra outfit for yourself in your carry-on and for baby. And then either just after takeoff, make sure you can get to the the bathroom. Or I used to have one of those like waterproof travel mats in my nappy bag, and I literally put the travel mat on my husband's lap, change the baby, and then I would go to the bathroom and sort of just change my top. But it literally happened. Like I say, we didn't travel a lot, but guaranteed every time we literally were about to take off. I don't know if it's because I was breastfeeding and my kids gathered my anxiety around flying and it affected the milk. I don't know. But yeah, I think to parents, relax. And you know, what's the worst that can happen is you have more understanding for the next mom whose kid is screaming. You know, I really feel like no big deal. You know, for those who've had kids, when they look at you, you'll see it'll be sympathetic, empathetic look. But for those who've never had kids, just sit there and go, one day you'll understand what I'm going through. Oh. So I almost feel like we put more of the anxiety on ourselves. And then with regards to sleep, like most of the time, motion helps them sleep. So most of the time, the plane taking off or in the air helps with to lull them to sleep if they're going to sleep. And the same with the car. The minute this car starts to move, they usually are very likely to fall asleep, or at some point in the trip they should fall asleep. So again, things that bring comfort, like the little lovey, would be important to put on the plane or put in their car seat when it is nap time, to just sort of help with those soft triggers and tools of sleepers coming. And yeah, I just said, parents, if anything else, like, go with the flow. You know, baby carriers are really helpful in flying. And you can also then just walk up and down the passage if your child is needing a bit of extra support to fall asleep. Again, if they don't fall asleep, not the end of the world, right? Aww. Because at some point they'll catch a 10, 15 minute nap somewhere along the line, and it's totally okay.
Yeah, I think also to always know that you kind of get over it relatively quickly once you're at your destination. Yes. It feels like while you're in it, sometimes you feel like, is this, are we ever gonna get there?
Yeah.
But if you do get over it relatively quickly once you're at your destination, luckily, that I can definitely assure you.
Yeah.
But I mean, for me as well, even traveling in a car and traveling in a plane is the two things I always have. And I mean, again, snacks, definitely I agree with that. Entertainment, I agree with that. Trash bags and a roll of toilet paper. Always.
Wipes.
Wet wipes. But to be honest, those type of things, to have a trash bags with you.
Yeah, it's true.
Is a game changer.
Yeah.
Also, if your dog throws up in the car. More on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, can you believe it? Another show came to an end, and it was nice talking about me. I think it was more than just sleep that we spoke about. We spoke about lots of things, about traveling and getting ready for the festive season. And again, life is about more than just sleep. So enjoy the festivities a little bit. Don't, you know, like anything, if you overdo it, you're going to feel the consequences of it. And that's the same. If you're going to not sleep the whole time, you're going to feel it. And the same for your children. And but yeah, in the end, it is also allowed, and it's also nice to enjoy this time with your family, do some things that's out of the norm, out of routine. But again, you're gonna crave that routine before you know it. I know it. Megan, before you go, thank you so much for joining me and for chatting about this. I feel it was very insightful. Where can people reach you if they want to contact you?
They can send me an email to megan@goodnightbaby.co.za, or they can follow me on Instagram called Meg's Love for Life. I'm on Instagram and share a lot on motherhood and stuff. But yeah, pop me a message.
Great. Thank you so much, Megan. It was really, really great having you.
Thank you for having me.
On that note, yes. Can you believe it? This year is basically done. This is my last show for the year. Next week, Wednesday, I am celebrating Christmas, so I won't be doing a show. And then the week after that, it's New Year's Day, so I will be recovering from celebrations. I'm kidding. I actually have the only reason I stay awake for New Year's Eve is because of my children, because they want to go into I could not care less, to be honest. I am more than fine with going to bed at 8 o'clock on the 31st and then wake up at an appropriate time, but I never do. I always go to bed after 12 because of my children. See, I make sacrifices for them. And unfortunately, though, if your children are small, unlike mine, they are not going to sleep later in the morning. That also being said, even if my kids wake up early, they know not to come and wake me up. They know that that's a bad idea. But it has been a beautiful and blessed year with all of you. And I am so grateful that I get to share my rants and my seemingly wanting to sound smart shares with all of you. So if you want to go listen to my rants and my insights and my experts that I've interviewed over these years, you can, of course, go and listen to it on HiveM.com. Me and all the other shows also on HiveM are available as podcasts for you to go listen to. I hope that all of you have a wonderful Hanukkah and a wonderful festive season, whichever way you celebrate. It's even if you don't celebrate Christmas, obviously, it is a time for family and a time for being together. Go out there, be kind with each other, be kind to yourself, and take a moment to enjoy your family and being with them. Thank you so much for your time. Have a wonderful day.